Oh, what's wrong, Rash? You look kind of sad.
Oh, my Kickstarter project isn't going so well.
I didn't know you were doing Kickstarter. How much money have you raised?
Somewhere in the neighborhood of about none.
That's not so good. What's the name of your project?
Oh, it's called the Give Me Money So I Can Buy Cool Stuff Project.
Yeah, I can see why people would be a little reluctant to give to that. See, Rashi, people usually give money to Kickstarter for something worthwhile.
Oh, man, if there's anything more worthwhile than buying a sock monkey a jet ski, I don't know what it is.
A jet ski?
Yeah, and a spear gun.
Well, it sounds like you have your summer fun all planned out.
Yeah. So, I'm gonna put you down for $2,000. That's cool, right?
No.
Hey, did I hear Rashi was doing Kickstarter?
Yeah, he's trying to get people to give him some money for a jet ski and other deadly toys.
That is not gonna work.
Hey, I've seen the bastard begging for coins on the computer machine. He's got about it all wrong.
Oh, really, Grandpa Angus? Have you had some experience raising money?
Aye, I'll show you. Bastard, get in here.
What do you want, Grandpa, old man?
I like the sound of this Kickstarter business, but you ain't going about it right. Once you start kicking someone, you don't stop until they give you the money. Let me show you. Hey!
Ow!
Ow!
Give me the money!
That's it! I've had it! Hobart! Hobart! Sick him!
Hey, you're not very nice to my grandpa!
Well, he wasn't very nice to our shins! Hey, listen, if you want money for summer, you should do like Superica. You got a job gardening and cutting lawns.
Oh, what a jump! Wasting his summer slaving away for the man! No! Thank you!
I don't know, Rashi. Super Rico's only been at it 2 weeks and he's already made, about $48?
$48? What? Where's my toolkit? Let's see. Saw, tape measure, wood glue.
Oh, that's sweet. Rashi looks like he's gonna do some carpentry to earn some extra money.
Oh, yeah, you can give the stables a workout.
No, you're all wrong. I'm gonna go beat Super Rico until he gives me his $48. Ah, here it is. My trusty ball peen hammer. Oh, Super Rico!
Oh, I hope Super Rico's careful and hope he sees Rashi coming first before Rashi sees him.
Well, he's known Rashi a long time. If that monkey's got money, he's gonna hide it.
Yep. Super Rico is very good at squirreling that away, and he's very thrifty. Rashi just blows his money.
Yeah, well, that's why he always needs it.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. So welcome to Almost Live. No, are we still Almost Live with Paul and Misty? No, we're Radio Rashi.
Radio Rashi. Radio
Wow.
We're like 10 minutes into the show and stuff like that.
Welcome to the show whose name changed 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I'm Misty Lee.
And I'm Paul Dini.
And I'm embarrassed.
And the rubbing alcohol must be getting to us from our shins.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I tend to sniff that as a hobby anyway.
There's a big fight going on in the stable out there. You know, Grandpa Angus is getting literally the stuffing gnawed out of him by Hobart, but Angus is giving it back as good as he gets it.
That's so fine. Then they'll both be busy through the time that we're talking
here. You know, by the end of the podcast, they'll probably, you know, Angus will have broken out the crack and rum and we'll be sharing.
The crack and rum is totally different than the crake and rum.
The crack and rum. And yeah, well, he and Hobart
are either two separate things that are very unique or they're one thing.
Yeah.
How do you say that? Is it crake or cracking?
Release the Kraken.
Yeah. If you're Laurence Olivier, wasn't
yes.
it? Yeah. Release the Kraken. What did they say in Pirates of the Caribbean? Was it the Kraken?
I think it was Kraken.
Yeah, Kraken. Kraken.
Okay.
Although by itself, it sounds weird. Just saying Kraken.
Yeah.
The Kraken. The
Just
Kraken.
Say it when you're drunk.
Yeah, right.
Giant squid. I showed you that picture of the giant squid today.
I wouldn't look at it.
There was a 13-foot-long giant squid.
Being eaten by a shark.
Well, he had eaten it down to 13 feet.
Oh, Trisha Lasky, there she is, disgust.
Oh, okay.
I got that from her. I'm sorry.
So,
anyway.
It was footage?
It was footage of a giant, of a kraken, well, a giant squid.
Yeah.
Which is what the kraken is based on, getting eaten by a shark.
And it was still living when it was fighting?
No, it wasn't having a very good time. The shark was having a great time. But
I mean, it, was there any function? Because from what I understand, we've only caught a few shots of a living giant squid. Mm-hmm. Everything we've seen is dead.
Yeah. This one was freshly killed, I think. Okay. Something had been gnawing on it before the shark got to it.
I'm fascinated by giant squids.
Well, I've seen giant squids, and they've been in like the 14 to 15 foot, you know, never alive. I mean, I haven't gone diving and then run into one of the monsters, but... I think off New Zealand they found one that was between 17 and 30 feet not long ago, and they found evidence of them that they go far down and then they just grow to enormous lengths. And the reason they know that they grow to such big such great lengths is not so much they find living ones or dead ones, they find their markings on the side of sperm whales, because sperm whales dive down very far and they eat them, and then when they harvest like a sperm whale, they would find on the side these enormous sucker marks on them. Yeah. And they'd go like, what's been eaten? What has this thing been eaten?
Yeah.
So they, apparently they have these great big fights. Like you could have seen at Disneyland a long time ago before they softened up the submarine ride. They had one of those things going on there.
I loved that bit.
I love that bit too. And then the sea serpent, except it always made me sad at the very end, you know, sea serpent. And the very end, he looks like Goofy. He's got
ridiculous
cross eyes.
He takes all the wind out of the rest of the ride.
Yeah, it's like, oh, really? You give him a dumb face? Why don't you give him a snarly face? Like, you have to escape from the sea serpent. That would be awesome. But no, he looks like the reluctant dragon a little bit. What you got there?
Well, I was thinking that since you were talking about two of your animals that you liked on your YouTube clip, I would play a little clip from mine. Here's one that I like.
Baby monkey riding on a pig, baby monkey.
Baby monkey. Look at.
Wow.
Backwards. On a backwards. Pig, baby
monkey. Man.
We have an agreement that certain animals Emily can't buy unless there's a monkey riding it.
Well, wow. Pig is one of them?
Yes.
We'll take it to the bridge and then I'll turn it down.
That is pretty darn cute. Is that a baby pig?
It's a baby monkey riding backwards on a baby pig. Yes.
Oh, man, that's all kinds of cute.
It is important.
That is wonderful. Why don't we see more of that in real life? I mean, you know, it's not that everybody has to have an exotic pet, but if we lived in a world where monkeys could ride pigs around, you know, like to the market or just in general, that would be...
Yeah.
Can you imagine how happy a world this would be?
Yeah, this world is happy, man. I spent the entire afternoon listening to calls from a turtle.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I am okay.
From a turtle?
Have you not heard of this either? Oh, my gosh. I just found out about it today. So those of you at home who read my Twitter know when I saw it.
We're
going to
be spending a lot of money on this.
My God. For $2.
Yeah.
$2. This man will call your friends and pretend he's a turtle.
How do you pretend you're a turtle?
He goes, hey, Caitlin, it's a turtle.
That's not a lot of pretending on his part.
It sure is.
You have to kind of take it on faith.
And he makes generic, cheerful conversation with your friends as a turtle for $2.
You got any leaves? I'm hungry.
Whatever. He just sits and he's like, what are you doing? And she's like, finals. And he's like, what are you studying in alphabetical order? Like, he just does not. He's just a friendly dude who calls your friends as a turtle. And he's like, hey, are you going to be on TV this week? And she's like, no. And he's like, well, when are you on TV next? And she's like, oh, next Thursday. And he goes, well, maybe I could be on TV with you. And she goes, maybe. He goes, I could sit on your shoulder. Like, I mean, he really talks. It's so ridiculous.
You better not show that to Rashi. You'll have a new summer job. You'll be calling people and just demanding, hi, you're talking to a monkey.
You know what? That's something we can give away.
What?
Is a phone call from Rashi.
A phone call from Rashi as a prize?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's make that a prize.
And we'll start doing it on podcast.
All right, okay, all right.
Because some guy, this guy, I was telling people I had said on my Facebook today that I was making extremely awkward voicemails, and I couldn't help it, and I was leaving very unusual, stilted, maladroit, awkward messages for people. I was trying to communicate like a human being, but my words just weren't flowing.
Uh-huh.
And I got a lot of requests for them. And so people are like, wow, if you're making awkward phone calls, I would like one.
Oh, that'd be good.
And I actually said to this guy, this magician that I know, Chris Hannibal, sent me his phone number and said, text or call anytime you need an ear. And my response was, I will call you and pretend to be a turtle since the turtle calls guy is temporarily out of commission. Deal?
But he's back in business, right?
Not yet. He's been down since April.
He's coming back in business. You don't want
supply and demand, man. Well, I will call this guy and pretend to be a turtle.
Okay.
So instead of Rashy calling him, Rashy calling someone can be a prize on next week's podcast.
All right.
But this guy, we're all going to be turtles. Okay. So all we'll call him, and I don't know him so really well. So we'll see how this goes.
Wow. I rescind my earlier statement about pigs and monkeys, you know, making the world a happier place. I mean, we've got monkeys running around this place, and we're not all that happy, so...
We're not happy. Speak for yourself, you sour puss.
Yeah, how happy is Super Rico going to be when that ball-peen hammer comes down on the side of his head? It's like, I know the feel of that ball-peen hammer. I felt it all too many times.
Okay, this guy's name is Chris.
Okay.
So acting exercise will be method turtles. Hi, well, Chris. Not method. If we were,
are
method,
you calling him now?
Yeah, right now.
You're calling him now. Wow. Okay.
Rashy.
We're gonna be turtles. I don't think he knows Rashy, so we'll do this.
Are we harassing somebody?
Absolutely, yes, we are. Live.
Oh my God! It's finally baby come to monkey. This.
Backwards on a pig, baby monkey.
Get the answering machine. That'll learn us.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, we'll leave a message.
Yeah, as a turtle.
Mm-hmm.
Suspense is deafening.
Hi, you reached Hannibal. I'm not able to take your call at the moment.
Oh, that's a shame.
Please leave your name, your phone number, and a brief message.
We'll sing Baby Monkey, because not.
Possible.
No. Hello, Hannibal. It is us, a group of four turtles, and we are giving you... Oh, hello, everyone. Say hello to Hannibal.
Hello, Hannibal.
Hello. Hello, Hannibal.
Hello,
we have come out of our shells to tell you hello.
Hannibal.
And leave you a mildly...
Password.
Oh, no. We have been picked up. I'm going to hang up as though this happened for real. I think it did.
Goodbye, Hannibal.
Goodbye, Hannibal.
Goodbye, Hannibal.
Well, that did not work out well at all.
No, that's a good one on us.
Yeah, that's a preview of things to come.
Yeah, I hope not.
Should we get your friend's permission before we do that?
No.
All right, okay. We're just abusing strangers now.
Why don't we just go semi-known.
Jerky Boys made a career off of
him. Oh, my God. We weren't abusing him. We just left his... It's just his name.
Why don't we just go door-to-door and bother people? I've got a fresh-baked pie in the other room. I can go over and fling that into our neighbors.
Remember when Rashy went over to Mrs. Putterson's with that casserole?
Yeah.
Because Rashy was under the impression that Mr. Putterson had passed away.
Yes.
And I don't know why. But he went next door. He baked, took all morning... And he put together a casserole, and she answered the door, and he said, I am really sorry for your loss, and I made you this casserole. And she said, but Rashy, Mr. Putterson is still alive. And he said, damn it! And he threw the casserole in the door, and the dish shattered all over their floor, and he just took off.
It was wishful thinking on Rashy's part that Putterson had passed away. Well, Super Rico is over cutting his grass now. I hope Rashy has gone down the street. He actually is the house next door to us, rifling through it, because... he knows that the old woman there doesn't answer the door, so he's going, I think, looking for valuables and stuff.
Was Rashy stuffed with Dennis the Menace comic strips?
No. I have a long, complicated origin about Rashy that actually involves some other characters in the...
Told the origin. I was just wondering if he was stuffed with them.
No.
What are you talking about? What other characters? I missed half that conversation.
Oh, well, the Rashy story is that he and Super Rico were born up at the North Pole, and when Jingle Bell was put on sock monkey duty, and she had a big fight with Santa Claus, and she was waving around this half-stuffed monkey, and Santa was yelling at her and told her to go back to work, and then she was angrily shouting at him and while sewing up the doll that would be Rashy, and she pricked her finger and some blood got in there as she was yelling at her dad. And that is why Rashy is so damn nasty, is because he shares blood with Jingle Bell.
Do you know why Rashy is nasty? Is because he doesn't know Baby Monkey riding backwards on a pig.
That's possible, too.
It's true.
Yeah.
You cannot be upset.
Yeah.
When you see Baby Monkey riding backwards on a pig.
No, you can't. You can't.
Listening to a banjo. You just can't be mad listening to a banjo.
Or listening to Bob Wills. And the Texas Playboys. I think that there's like a law against that. That I actually think it's physically impossible that even if you're down and out and drunk in a bar in Lubbock and something comes on like Bubbles in My Beer, as miserable as you are, that will cheer you up a little bit.
I don't know Bubbles in My Beer.
One in my bubbles in my beer. Boy, I'm blanking on the start of that song. It's been a while since I've heard it, but it's... It's been a while. Boy, you stumped me on that. It's hard to.
You're
stump
the one
me.
Who brought it up. I
it's
didn't,
hard
it
to stump
like,
me on
well,
Bob
one
Wills.
I know you won't know.
Alone in a bar tonight, I'm drinking. Well, that's the start of so many country songs. I don't know. It's a good one. It's a good one.
Okay.
But there,
yeah,
you
it
know,
must be real good. It clearly made an impression on.
No,
you.
It's a good one. But you put it on when you've got bubbles in your beer when you're drinking. I mean, you know, there are a lot of peppy ones like Across the Alley from the Alamo and Ida Red and San
Giant
Antonio
Squid
Rose.
Is eaten by a shark.
Bob Wills, to the best of my knowledge, did not write a song about giant squids being eaten by sharks.
Well, then he missed the boat.
He literally did.
Did he really miss a boat?
No, he didn't. No, but he did. I don't know
you
what
said
his
literally.
He did. Well,
I was like, he really missed a boat? That's
well, he
so
did.
Random.
He,
like,
well,
why would you,
I don't know. I imagine he sailed around. I don't know that. I don't know his life. I mean,
I don't know your life.
I know a little
did
bit
I ever
about
tell
him.
Tell that on here? I don't know your life.
I know your life, Bob Wills, but...
Tonight in a bar, I'm alone, G,
yeah.
Sitting. Apart from the
laughter,
and
the
cheers.
Cheers.
Oh, now you know it.
Well...
Yeah. While scenes from the past rise before me, just watching the
bubbles
in
my
beer. You know what? You forgot this for a very good reason. It's stupid.
No, it's good.
No, it's not.
A memory of...
Oh my gosh, it just gets better and better. A vision of someone who loved me...
Loved me.
...brings a... Would you stop it?
All right.
You're that guy that doesn't know the song, and you're going to come in on the second.
I'm like
syllable.
Brian on Family Guy.
It's
like
terrible.
I try to finish Stewie's sentences like I know what I'm talking about.
It's the
about.
Worst. All right, so don't play it. We don't need to hear this bullshit. A vision of someone. Ah ha! Rashi's in the Bob Wills. Ha ha!
Yeah, that's right. Apart from the laughter and the cheers, the past rise before me. The bubbles in my beer. A vision of someone who loved me brings a long silent tear to my eye. I know that my life's been a failure. Watching the bubbles in my beer. Yeah,
my life's been a failure. I completely see why you could not be in a bad mood listening to this song. I know my life's been a failure. I'm seeing a road that I've traveled, a road paved with heartaches and tears. And I'm seeing the past that I've wasted while watching the bubbles in my beer. As I think of the heart that I've broken and the golden chances passed me by. And the dreams that I made now are empty as the bubbles in my beer.
Okay.
My God, you should be a motivational speaker.
It's not a
you
laugh
really
riot.
Understand.
I'll give him that.
You really get how to viscerally cheer somebody up. It's like, well, hey, this asshole's got it worse than y'all.
Yeah, that's right.
No,
that's right.
That is wrong. That's not the way it works.
Okay, well.
That's the worst song I have ever heard. It's like, oh, cheer up. At least your family isn't dead yet.
He plays it. He plays it nice, though. And he's heckling Tommy Duncan.
You mean
Duncan
they're
going to
die someday? Yes. And you never know when.
Yeah. What? Well, okay.
Oh, my gosh, Paul. That's
San
terrible.
Antonio Rose is a good song.
That's not Bubbles in My Beer. You didn't offer that one up as a...
Well, I said even when you're listening to a downer song like Bubbles in My Beer.
Oh, did you say that?
Yes.
Oh, well, then I'm half deaf.
It's done with the same style that you can enjoy it while listening at the Broken Spoken Austin.
Because you were talking about the ukulele.
Was it talking about the ukulele?
I thought that was.
I was talking about the ukulele.
Oh, the banjo.
The banjo. You said like... you can't be sad when you're listening to the banjo, and I agree. And I said, or listening to Bob Wills, even when it's a downer song like Bubbles in My Beer.
I didn't hear any of that. And so this whole thing, I would like to withdraw and retract because now I'm embarrassed for getting into
it. You were on the pig
shit.
With the baby monkey.
I was very obsessed with it. I
That's
had a problem.
Okay.
Who is it that handles the banjo like a monkey handles a peanut?
That would be Uncle. That would be Dave Macon.
Yes.
Uncle Dave Macon.
Uncle Dave Macon handles the banjo like a monkey handles a peanut.
That's yeah. how he was described.
Yeah.
That is, yes.
And people used to see a lot of monkeys handling peanuts then.
Clearly, whomever wrote this was an expert.
Yeah.
Clearly.
Well, we are going to see a fine banjo player later this year.
Is it a monkey?
It's better than a monkey.
Baby monkey!
It's Steve Martin.
Yes,
ooh,
and Thornton Bear.
Is this going to be that the new band of his?
Yeah, Steve Martin and the
Birdheads or whatever
the Steep Canyon Rangers, I believe they're called.
Okay.
So, yeah. And they're going to be regaling us with banjo.
I
and,
love those first albums. They've been so good.
Yeah, that's
You're
really
gonna
good.
You're going to be on stage with Mr. Martin.
I am.
Wow.
Yeah, I got him. I got him
How'd
on
that
stage
happen?
Seats.
Oh.
Oh.
Wow. Oh, you got me the audience participation seat?
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, honey, you're going to be like in spitting range.
Say, who's this fat guy here?
Hey. He looks like a wild and crazy guy.
Hey, look at this guy. You want to play the banjo? No, you can't touch it.
Well, if he gave it to you, you could play it. You've got that. Paul has this instrument called a banjolele.
Yeah.
And it's a bean sprout. Right? Or is it bean pod?
I always bean sprout.
It's sprout.
Yeah.
And it is so pretty. And this guy
you had
named
it made
Aaron,
for me.
Yeah, I did have it made for you.
For Christmas, like 5 years ago.
Uh-huh. Well, Santa did.
Santa did, yeah, so that's right.
But Aaron is the guy who makes them. Uh-huh. And we got you one a couple years ago, and it is stunning, and it's such a pretty sound.
It is beautiful.
Mm-hmm. It's really fun, and you play it really well. I think I've mentioned this before, but my favorite thing that he plays on the ukulele is Folsom Prison. Mm-hmm.
I hear the train.
It's so ridiculous.
It's going around. What was I playing last night? Lydia the Tattooed Lady.
Yeah, I like it when you play that one too. But that one's kind of supposed to be played on the...
I played that and I played Everyone Says I Love You.
I love that too.
That's a good one. I found
Chevalier.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's a... Well, actually, oh, that was Monkey Business. Everyone... There was Horse Feathers, the next movie up.
But that is the same movie where they all went, Chevalier.
No, Monkey Business is the one where they go Chevalier. They're trying to... The Marx Brothers are trying to sneak off a ship. They don't have passports or tickets as they're trying. They steal Marie Chevalier's passport and try and sneak off. In the next movie they did after that is Horse Feathers. That's one where Groucho was the president of a college and they sing Everyone Says I Love You to the college widow.
That's the one they're going to cut the watermelon open.
Yes, that's right. Where that's one where Chico brings a watermelon to Groucho's class.
Yeah. He says, does anybody have any questions? He goes, yeah, when you get to cut the watermelon open.
Open. It ends in a big pee fight.
Yes, of course it does. Yeah, what doesn't?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's a lot of fun.
Uh-huh.
That's a good song. And actually, I transposed some of the keys, so it's easier for me to play on the ukulele. Hmm. I don't know if I have tendonitis or something, but it's awfully hard to play with this.
Oh, maybe you have gout.
Is it gout?
I'm just kidding.
That's for old fat rich men in cartoons who go around with their foot bandaged in a wheelchair, and people are always stepping on it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a wheelchair, nor is my foot bandaged.
That's why he doesn't have the gout.
So yeah,
we ruled it out.
Proven.
Yep.
Right. Back in the days, it was fun to trot on people's feet.
I want to crank call people.
Well, okay, if you want to prank call somebody, why don't you call Lizzie, our sister-in-law?
Okay, what should I say?
Well, she's a realtor. Why don't you call her and say, hello, I am Ms. Aliasa McFakey Name, and I have $12 million to spend at a house, and I will meet you there at the house. And then she goes to the house, and there's no one there.
That's not nice.
No, it isn't. It's really not nice, and I apologize to Lizzie. I'm sorry.
Oh, he's laughing. He don't mean it.
Yes, I am. I'm sorry.
No, you're not.
Mom just got back from their house. They were at Lake Tahoe. They have house. Bruce, my brother Bruce, and his wife Lizzie have a house at Lake Tahoe, and Mom was just up there.
So this is boring. It was nice having Bill Morrison on. Let's talk about something.
Bill Morrison. Yeah, we don't have a guest this week, but we were doing
something. Maybe we should continue having guests.
No, we did interesting. We did interesting stuff last week.
What did we do?
We went to the movies.
Twice, like six times.
Yeah, I don't know. What movies did we see? Well, we saw The Hatfields and McCoys. So we watched all that.
Yeah.
We watched to see a bunch of hillbillies slaughter each other. No, I liked it.
I do not concern myself with the ongoings of the hillbillies. I have not made a habit of it and will not do that again.
I only do when it's family.
Yeah. there's that. But,
yeah.
I liked the first two, and the third one I did not care for.
Yeah, I did.
I did not like the way
it all rushed up at the end. Like, there was not, it's sort of like, well, this happened, and they all
died. Well, it's kind of like watching Monster Quest. It's like the ultimate blue ball journey. It's sort of like, well, what happens? Well, they never worked it out. Well, then why the hell did we watch this? I want justice. I want somebody to win and somebody to suffer. I do not care what happens in between.
Well, that was the thing about Monster Quest. Monster Quest is on the hunt of a monster.
And you know that if they found it, they would have posted it in some scientific journal. So you know it's going to be a big blue ball.
Or it would have been on the news that night. I mean,
right.
A bear gets into someone's hot tub. That's on the news right away.
You call it bear news.
Bear news.
He's like, what are you watching? Bear news.
Bear news is something that happens every summer in
LA. Every Wednesday. It's Wednesday night.
It's usually Wednesday because that's like middle of the week.
They're coming nothing. Out for their comics.
Yeah, if nothing. Yeah, and if free nothing. Comic usually, book nothing is going on Wednesday. If there's no news Wednesday, The guys in the news office go, oh, I got to pad out the 11 o'clock news. You know, is the Dodger game still going on? Oh, shit. Okay. Yeah, the Kings win again? No, okay. What? All right. Anybody see an animal or anything? Well, we got a cougar that's running around Woodland Hills. Okay, that'll do. We got a bear over in Monroe. Bears are always great. We got footage of the bear? Yeah, here it is running down the street.
Got chopper footage.
Run it. Oh, okay. Okay, we're gold. We're gold. Run the bear footage. And then you always see, and then they, and then the newsman, you know, he's like, you know, he's at that 11:22 spot, and it's like, oh, and okay, got some news tonight out of Monrovia. Another bear came down from the hills and was running around the shopping center. This one jumped a fence and got into a guy's hot tub, scared him out. And,
but nobody minded because he was wearing some new pants from Abercrombie and Fitch.
One humorous note, the police were not able to subdue the bear, so he was euthanized. Ha ha ha. And that's always like the sad ending of bear. That's a sad ending to bear news.
You know what you could do to cheer yourself up from bear news is listen to that shit-ass beer song.
What beer song?
Exactly.
Oh, the bubbles in my beer.
See, you've already forgotten it. It's so terrible.
The bubbles in my bear.
It's the worst song. Bubbles in your bear.
Bubbles in your bear. Yeah.
In your bear.
Yeah.
That's
bear
jacuzzi. Right.
Yeah.
Written.
Yeah.
Well, that's bubbles
or
in my tub.
That's bear in your bubbles.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Bubbles in my bear is the news of bear gas.
You know
that
what? Actually, Henry Gilroy.
Hi, Henry.
Henry Gilroy, my marvelous writing producing partner.
Say his name one more time.
Henry Gilroy.
Very nice. The Lord.
Who I have had the pleasure of working with on many wonderful animated shows.
And came to our Halloween party dressed as God.
Because he kind of is. Years ago, he was working on a show called House of Mouse for Disney, and I actually pitched him a short cartoon. It's one of the few cartoons that I actually worked on for Disney. It was called Hot Tub Humphrey, and it used Humphrey the Bear, that big, dumb grizzly bear, and the little blobbish ranger, who are characters I actually like.
Yeah,
Misty Eve collapsed. And
and
I read a story. It was on Bear News, you know. Well, a man got into a hot tub and a bear came in. And it's like, well, that's gold, you know. And Humphrey the Bear, who's a great Disney character, he's like a less intelligent version of Yogi. You know, Yogi is smarter than the average bear. Humphrey is the below average bear. He's barely capable of you know,
excuse the pun.
Of any sort of thought. But
terrible.
I pitched an idea where wouldn't it be funny if the ranger gets a hot tub and Humphrey's always using it? So they actually made that cartoon. And actually, at the time, you know, I pitched the story
make
and I
the
wrote
bear
a
little, noise.
Blah.
Yeah, we have a
storybook
with
a bear. Did we
have the storybook on here?
No.
Oh my gosh, we have a brown bear storybook, and he picked it up in the children's store, and he was reading it, and this bear looks so stupid, and its mouth is like wide open, and he's smiling, so he's like, and he's making that noise in the store, and I bought the book because it was the dumbest noise I'd ever heard. And
I think I got that at Comic-Con. You know, at the
no,
children's.
No, it was at the children's store. It wasn't at Comic-Con, I don't think. But it was at Comic-Con you were making the noise.
Oh, okay. All right.
So I think we got it in a San Diego store.
No, it was a bookstore.
Was it at Buds or something?
No, no. It was a bookstore that specialized in children's books, and they had Gustav Tengren's illustrations. I think it was a Gustav Tengren book, and it's the big brown bear, and
it's hysterical.
And it's just this bear, you know, wearing overalls who walks around going, "Yeah, I would like to get a fish." Yeah.
So terrible.
Or he wants honey, and his wife sends him down to the river to get some honey. No, his wife says, "Go down to the river and get a fish," and then he goes off and gets some honey, and he gets badly stung, and his wife says, "You went and got some honey, didn't you, idiot?" And he goes, "Yeah," because he's all stung up. So anyway, that's the bear noise. But Humphrey makes a noise like that. He's more like, What happened was, because I was actually under contract at Warner Brothers, they couldn't give me credit on the cartoon.
Uh-huh.
So in the storyboard, when the ranger goes in to answer the phone, there's a huge caricature of me by the phone. And it's like, you know, I'm some relative of Ranger Woodlore's
best friend.
And because we are rather rotund, portly gentlemen, there, I could actually see the resemblance. So I went around saying, yes, that's my uncle, the little wacky ranger on the Humphrey Bear cartoons.
That's cute.
And then they took it out when they did the final cartoon because it was so obvious in the scene. Somebody said, hey, wait a minute. That guy looks like somebody. That doesn't look like a cartoon character. No, that doesn't look like one of ours.
You always complain about that. You've been in a lot of your own cartoons.
Yeah, I was in that one.
And you're like, oh, that's so unctuous when they put themselves in there.
However, if the artist does it,
that's okay.
Here's the thing, though. If it's a Bruce Timm cartoon, Bruce knows how to caricature people so that they look like cartoon characters.
I love that drawing he did of you as Gossamer.
Yeah, oh, the
it's, I don't think it's deliberately painting? Gossamer, but you're in the shape of Gossamer, and I love it.
Like, yeah. Walking around, like, hunching and everything
it's
like that.
It's so awesome.
Yeah, I'm a spherical miracle in that. It's pretty good.
No, you're not, though. You just look really broad-shouldered, because the rest of your body is really tiny.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's like one of the high school football players or something.
Yeah, I look like I can't move. I look like I was just sort of like, I look like I was, you know, made out of one of those wax... you know, injection things at the carnival, you know, like, and I'm like a non-action figure, like the Kevin Smith non-action figures.
Mm-hmm. Inaction
figure.
He calls them inaction.
Hey, have we pimped Batman, Fat Man on Batman?
I don't think so.
We haven't? Okay.
We did when you first recorded. But
oh, okay.
Yeah, it's posted now.
It's posted now, and it's on iTunes, and it's got a really swell illustration by Walt Flanagan of Kevin riding around on Batman's shoulders.
That's nice. Cute.
And that was really great. And
I'll try to do a Facebook link to it this week.
Yeah, and Kevin emailed me and said, "Man, you know, you killed it. You knocked it out with the first episode, and people want me back on it." And it's like,
that's wonderful.
I'd love to do it, but get other guests on there first, you know, because yeah. For one thing, you'd have to call it Fat Men on Batman, and that screws up the rhyme scheme. But also, it's you call it Fats on Bats, but. You know, it's like there are other people I want to hear talk about Batman. I want to hear about you know, classic and contemporary writers talk to Kevin about it, and I want to hear Kevin was asking me about some very cool guests, and I kind of helped link him up with somebody. I'm not going to blow it. It's his deal. But if those guys show up on his show, it's gonna rock. So, you know, maybe in a year or so, you know, I can come back and do it again. But he should get, you know, for one thing, you should do a weekly, and it should be on there all the time. Yeah. I don't know anybody who likes Batman more than Kevin Smith.
Yeah, totally.
But it's pretty damn good. And we got Spider-Man.
Spider-Man.
Spider-Man's going great.
Thwip, thwip, baby. Thwip, thwip. I didn't even say that right. Thwip, thwip. That's
thwip,
hard to say.
Thwip,
thwip.
Thwip, thwip. Thwip, thwip.
It's easier to say when you do the wrist. Thwip, thwip.
Yeah, it's one of those.
For some reason, when you flip your wrists out, it's easier thwip, thwip. To say.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been loving that. The ratings have been great. Kids are loving the show.
Oh, you're
so
proud of it.
Everybody's loving the show.
And Hulk's is awesome.
I can't say any more about Hulk.
Other than it's awesome.
Hulk is awesome. Hulk is awesome.
It's so funny.
Just
a lot of fun.
Sounds cool.
Yeah.
God, it's so funny. And, it is so funny.
Hulk is doing great this year.
Yeah.
Hulk and big star for Avengers movie, you know. And,
Speaking of Avengers, did you hear what the cinematographer announced about that movie?
No, what did he say?
Apparently, a lot of it was filmed on his iPhone 4S.
What?
Including the shawarma scene at the end and a bunch of S.H.I.E.L.D. walkthroughs.
Really?
And nobody noticed. It's all high def on the iPhone 4S, and he was able to up-res it, so it worked on feature film.
That's awesome.
That is amazing.
That's ballsy and awesome.
God, what the iPhone can't do.
Yeah.
It can get Zooey Deschanel some tomato soup when she doesn't feel like going out, and it can keep John Malkovich happy during a really creepy night at home when all I want to do is talk to you, cell phone.
Disgust.
You pointed that out.
Yeah. He's a creeper.
John
he's
Malkovich just sits around weird. Talking to his cell phone. You know,
and he speaks to it like
he makes
knows
jokes.
It.
He's
friends.
Not like talking to Siri on it. He's just talking to the cell phone.
No, he's talking to Siri.
He's talking to Siri.
Like they're pals.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
It's not okay. It's not okay. Yeah. Like, I love Samuel L. Jackson because he's doing stuff and another human being's coming to see him that he's not going to eat. And it's like, what is going on with this guy? He's like, what? John Malkovich is like, what's on my schedule? And Siri's like, you have nothing on your schedule. And he goes, good.
Good.
Like, because I wanted to stay home with you, iPhone. And it's like, don't do that. Don't. No. That's not okay.
Meantime, Sam Jackson's off having hot spacho on his phone.
Yeah, she's like, would you like me to remind you to cool your gazpacho? And he's like, yeah, unless you want to have hot spacho.
Okay, I want my...
Have you not seen these? They're commercials. They're
these are great. I want my own iPhone commercial. And I know, and I was telling you about what it's going to be.
It's going to be not awesome.
It's going to be me standing there and wearing like the top half of a nitrate and going like, is that daylight? I don't want to go out today. Find a place that'll deliver chocolate cake and lasagna and ravioli and tacos and right now because I don't want to wear real pants today.
That's Coral.
Yeah. And then Coral comes over and it's like,
I'll call Coral Cafe.
I'll call Coral. Yeah. Oh, great. You do that. Oh, and remind me to clean up. I don't know. Sometime like 3 years from now.
Would you like me to remind you?
Nah, you know what? You can, but I won't clean up anyway. You know, because today we're dancing. Play that Bubbles in the Beer song. I feel like I'm in a really good mood.
It always makes me cry.
And I just pick up the ukulele and start bashing at it like I can play it and go dancing out without any pants on.
Oh, jeez.
There you go.
Yeah, it's just like every Tuesday
so,
around here.
So you haven't seen that ad then? With
No one apparently, but us has.
We don't watch TV too much. We don't.
Okay. That's...
We always watch TV at like 10:30, 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we always watch weird stuff, you know, like... Mm-hmm. Monster Quest, where they never find anything. It's like
well, and Toddlers and Tiaras, which I love.
Oh, Honey Baby Booby Snot.
No, not Baby Booby Snot. It's Honey Boo Boo Child.
Uh huh.
Okay, I gotta watch the show.
She is getting her own spinoff.
Oh, no.
Dollar made me holler, Honey Boo Boo. Have you not seen her?
No, I haven't seen the show at all.
I'm Alana. I really want to, I'm though. Six, and I'm a beauty queen.
It's more hillbillies.
And they come back to her and she goes, Zala made me holla, Honey Boo Boo. And she's like, I need to do pageants because I like to win money.
She's a six-year-old who sounds like a runway dancer.
Yeah,
it's the best. Oh, it is God. The best. And she's like, she's got her little fat belly out and she's shaking it. She goes, this is what I show to the judges.
God. She has a fat belly that she shakes out.
Oh, man.
And that's what she shows to the judges.
I weep for
and it
America.
Said, and they introduced her on the stage to do her talent. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. They introduce her on the stage to do her talent, and they say, here's Alana. When she grows up, she wants to be a couponer like her mom.
A couponer?
Wow.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Just like her mom, because that's a career.
Yes.
Yeah.
Although, I went shopping yesterday. I got a $10 off coupon. I saved that sucker.
Oh, at the grocery store?
Yeah.
Well, you should say that that's $10 off the whole grocery bill. It's like they handed you a $10 bill.
I know.
You know, I actually think that if you walked it over to the register, they would give you 10 bucks.
Really?
No.
So I could go back over there and I could get my grotesque order of chocolate
and
cake
pants.
Well, maybe pants, but everything I asked Suri to get me and I could go over there and pay for it myself.
Yeah. You know what I got at the grocery store today?
What'd
Harry
you get?
The Platypus Kraft Macaroni and Cheese.
Oh, I saw that. You got like, you know, 12 boxes of that.
Harry the Platypus make me holla, Honey Boo Boo.
Oh my God. We've gone from the Hatfields and McCoys to Honey Boo Boo Child.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God, it's hillbillies. You know,
it's the hillbilly night.
We don't have the hillbillies and the peaked black hats and the one suspender and
we
the
should be drinking
squirrel gun, anything like that. And then suddenly.
I'm making moonshine, don't worry.
Yeah.
Overnight, they've gone from, you know, Little Abner to Honey, Little Boo Boo Child. You know, I mourn.
You know, I showed that to Max.
In America
I was at
that
lunch
no
with.
Longer.
I was at lunch with Max Maven, and I showed him Honey Boo Boo, and I made him watch it. He's like, "Shut it off!" And I said, "No, you will watch it." And he was like, "Just shut it off."
Max
said,
Maven is a wizard of intelligence and taste, and you subjected him to Honey Boo Boo Child.
He loved Honey Boo Boo.
Yikes.
Everybody loves Honey Boo Boo, and so many people love Honey Boo Boo that she's getting her own show, and she's gonna show how to make her special juice because it helps her win.
Okay.
Her special juice is half Red Bull and half Mountain Dew.
You need to show people how to make that, huh?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
My special juice.
You need to show what happens when she drinks it.
Kraken rum and Godiva liqueur,
Kraken
rum, and that chocolate liqueur last night, and hot chocolate. Yeah. Oh yeah. And then.
Oh, he was making like hot chocolates last night. I had a girlfriend over here that was having a hard time of it, and he was like, "I can make you better." And Dr. Dini was like,
"Dr. Z."
He was like, "Drink this. It's like the antidote to sadness." And she was like, "There's bubbles in my beer." No, I'm kidding. So Paul made her a hot chocolate. What'd you put in that?
Put some Godiva chocolate liqueur and a nice big slug of Sailor Jerry spiced rum.
And then hot chocolate?
And hot chocolate. And,
oh my gosh, she's not going to wake up for 3 days.
Well, she was doing pretty good when she left last night.
She did feel better, I have to say.
Yeah.
Dr. Dini and his doctored hot chocolate.
Well, you know, I used to be a bartender and I used to come up with a lot of things. And sometimes, like, you know, the thing is there are only like so many combinations of drinks and a couple of years ago, I sat down to make one, and I just was really inspired, and I threw together some Chambord, which I was actually playing with earlier tonight.
Which is a raspberry liqueur, and it's delicious.
Yeah,
it's
and
like candy.
I said, you know what tastes really good is maybe some vodka, some Chambord, and some maybe pineapple juice. And I whipped it all together, and then the bartender I was working with said, oh, it's a French martini. I said, this already exists? I thought it was an original creation. He goes, no, it's a French martini. It's not bad. And it's like,
oh.
So it already existed, and it was...
Well, what about Godiva and Chambord? A dark chocolate raspberry.
Oh, you know, that might have some possibility. That might
I'm going to make you one right now.
I think you might need some vodka in there, because it might be a little bit on the syrupy side.
Oh.
So you might need something to...
To cut it?
Yeah, but you know what? That maybe, you know, that's worth playing around with.
I'm going to go make you one right now.
Okay. Well,
tell the people at home about what you do. Tell them what you're going to do at Comic-Con, because I know you talked about some of your panels.
Yeah, I'm actually just a little bit of each, you know, just in like a little bit of...
Yes, fancy bartender. Okay. I know. Look at this dog.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
That's
look at
ridiculous.
That. Well, we got Comic-Con coming up.
Yeah, I can't wait.
It'll be
coming quick this year.
It's lunging at our throats like a rabid panther.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. The beginning of July, right?
It's like a week or two earlier this year. Yeah. It's July 11th is when the festivities commence.
Yeah, preview night. Yeah.
Yeah. It's usually a week or two later. And it's kind of odd this year that they kind of made people jump through a lot of hoops to get tickets. It wasn't as easy to get tickets. It's never easy to get hotels, but for whatever reason, I know they sold out early for regular purchase, and then you had to register and get a registration, and then go back if you were a professional,
mm-hmm.
And then kind of go through the process again with your registration number.
Yeah,
and then you go to the actual event and pick up your badge. You know, so you jump through some hoops, but yeah, what do I complain about? I get it free. That's nice.
It was a little frustrating just for regular ticket buyers. I know Emily only got like preview night or something. No, not preview night. It was Thursday and Sunday was the first set she got.
Yeah, which was pointless. Yeah.
Wait a minute, you got tickets for Thursday and Sunday? So
up getting Thursday and then Sunday, and then I did the resale and I got all four.
Oh, yeah, because I'm wondering, what do you do on Friday, Saturday, go to a real long Padres game?
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Yeah, we were trying to figure out what to do about that because, you know, she needed to go there for work options and stuff, and I'm like...
Well, aren't you a professional?
I hopefully will be after this year.
Well, you've done it. Well,
she's interned at Cartoon Network.
Oh.
I don't know if that... Because they're very picky about it. Like, if you aren't working at time in the field that they want you in... then you can't get professional anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't just be a PA or something.
Okay. All right, because I know Misty filled out professional, and she, mm-hmm. you know, is, like, doing voices on a number of video games, cartoon shows.
Yeah,
so,
that allows
you know.
Her, definitely.
And also, she's on a panel this year. So,
oh, okay. Yeah, that helps.
Voiceover panel. I'm on two panels so far. I'm not really going to announce what they are because I don't have 100% confirmed start times on them. Oh, here. Hey, thank you, Misty. Here we go. Here's the Misty Lee cocktail. Say, that's good.
Does it need to be cut? Is
no.
it too sweet for you?
Well,
I was thinking cream in there might be really good.
You know, cream or this in hot chocolate would be really good because that would be astounding. It would be like a really good nighttime drink because it would be like...
you want a little bit of cream in there and try that?
Yeah, sure. Sure.
Do you guys want to try it?
Sure.
I think we pass it around like it's mass.
Like it's an ass?
Like it's mass. You know, we all drink it.
I thought you said like it's an ass, and I'm like, where have you been where you passed around ass?
No, I'm talking Jail. About mass, where you drink it out of a cup at church,
Folsom
you know?
Prison.
Oh, you know where he learned to play the ukulele.
Yeah.
Yeah, the witch queen here. She's never gone to church, so it's like...
But we will definitely post your Comic-Con schedule until we find out on Facebook and stuff.
Yeah, I should know in the next week. I'm down for two panels, neither of which is anything that I'm pimping or promoting or want to talk about at this point, but I'm kind of sitting in on some fun panels, two, maybe three panels. And what's the matter?
Oh, I spilled milk.
Don't cry over spilled milk.
All right.
Lame. All right. But I think it's shaking down that I'm going to do one on Thursday and one on Sunday, so I may join you at that long Padres game.
There you go.
And have a room, so right there at the hotel. That's nice.
Nice.
And I'm going to go solo for a long time because Missy's got a bunch of projects happening that week. I'm just going to take a chunk of the week off. I'll be down there. I think Wednesday, and then she may join me for the last day or something like that.
Very nice. She'd be relaxed.
But yeah, yeah. But it's looking like fun. So, are you going down to the con?
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm gonna try to get out of work a little early and make it down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I got tickets for the whole thing. Yeah, me and Emily and my friend Billy, we usually get a hotel room and just do the whole weekend. And
Billy, fun. I like Billy.
Yeah, Billy's a good guy.
I think I liked it better before the before the cream.
It's interesting. It's very good.
Well, now is it disgusting?
No.
Interesting is a euphemism for gross.
I like it.
I liked it better before the cream, though.
I like it in hot chocolate, though. I mean, I think a little. Yeah.
I liked it better before the cream.
Okay.
Okay.
It looks like chocolate milk.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Everybody thinks it's disgusting.
No, I don't think it's disgusting.
No, it's not what I expected. It reminds me of like when you mix milk and soda, but the alcoholic version. Like there's something watered
down
about it.
It's the Laverne.
Yeah.
It's like milk and Pepsi.
It's better. That's what I just said. It's the Laverne. Yeah. It's. Yeah. It was. You gonna say that it's interesting? Do you want
to
say that?
No, I went to art school. Interesting is banned from my vocabulary.
I thought she meant she had it before.
So interesting is a nasty word in art school.
It's a dirty word.
It's whenever you're in critiques and you hear someone go, "It's interesting." It's the most vague word, so it's been banned from most vocabulary.
That's how you know when I have the times I've had an agent and I pitched something to the agent and it was interesting. It was like it stinks. It's like,
no, my favorite was when we pitched something to an agent and she said, "I don't know, it's tapping me on the shoulder, but it's just not slapping me on the face." And I thought, oh, honey, I could slap you on the face. That ain't not a problem.
There you go.
She was nice and she was trying to do right by us, but it was just such a strange way of expressing. Yeah. So I prefer that. Just so you folks at home that are going to make that, it was two parts Godiva liqueur with one part Chambord. Mm-hmm. And it was much better without the crap in it. Don't put cream in there. Just those two things were fine. It was much better. Mm-hmm. The other way. Mm-hmm. Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I think the cream makes it kind of weird.
And now Emily's stuck with it getting drunk.
Yeah. You better drink it.
With her interesting drink.
Interesting or not, you drink it.
That was always the word whenever I go into my agents and pitch, you know, like one of my original cartoon comic ideas.
Mm-hmm.
That's a comic book about Santa Claus's rebellious daughter.
Is that how you pitched it? Because that would be distracting.
No, but he'd go, "Oh, interesting." It's like, okay, strike one. This is about a woman who's an Avenger of evil who can transmute her appearance and become other people. Interesting. Okay, this is about a girl who lives in the Southwest and talks to an armadillo. He didn't even have a word for that. It's just sort of like, just leave.
This
just
is
leave.
Based on an old sitcom property. Oh, I'm for it. Let's go.
Yeah. This is based on a skit Kristen Wiig did last week on SNL. Yeah. Sold. Man, we're there. We're there. We're already doing part two.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about my movie?
No.
No, not at all.
Do we announce that? My movie.
Can you announce it?
My movie.
Why not?
It's not really my
movie. It's on IMDb, so it's not unable to be announced.
Well, apparently, a movie that I worked on years ago called Maleficent is going into the works. It's a Disney movie, and it'll be out, I think, like 2 years from now. They're starting shooting, I guess, this summer. And what happened was I did a development on it years ago. And then there was like a huge shift change, as often happens in Hollywood, where everybody's thrown out of work and everything is trashed and everything thrown in the dump.
Recently that shift change got its own shift change.
And then that shift change got changed. And then what happened was they Alice in Wonderland made a lot of money. They go, well, okay, you know, let's lift our ban on, reviving old property. What else have we got lying around? So then Maleficent came up again.
So it's a live action?
Believe so, yeah.
Wow.
Angelina Jolie playing Maleficent.
Wow.
And I thought, you know, I don't have any carp against it. You know, it was like I wrote, you know, my version of it. I got paid. Everything was great. And it just didn't get made. You know, hey, that's 90% of what happens. And then I discovered suddenly my name is on IMDb as a co-writer of the project. And I guess I went back, and so I guess I'm getting a story credit on the sucker. That's kind of nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. It's a big deal, dude.
Yeah.
Hi.
You're working on interesting stuff.
I am.
Yeah?
Yeah, we're putting together I got a big shoot next Wednesday for a PSA. So we'll see what happens. I'm a little bit distracted.
You're a busy producer on that. I mean, you've got a lot of things.
Yeah.
You got a lot of things swirling around. You got a lot of stuff going on. Yeah. You've got seances.
You've got
the film shoot. You've got recordings. You just did what, 3 episodes of a cartoon show last week, and video games and everything. Man.
It's like, wow.
And you're going to Detroit soon? Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, man.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on. I'm sorry, I was distracted because I just got an email about that PSA, and I've been kind of going back and forth with the director.
Okay.
I think we're just trying to, you know, like what we're doing is trying to tell a really important story that means a lot to both of us for different reasons. But as a result of that, we're kind of coming at it from completely different directions that we need to, you know, which is awesome because hopefully we can make this matter.
You know,
we're making a short movie about something that's really important to both of us.
Uh-huh.
And so hopefully with us coming in with polar opposite views, it will tell both stories, or one of us will have to win out.
Or you guys can polish each other's ideas so they work better. So
yeah, we may end up making 2 shorts.
Too objective, yeah.
They may be
yeah.
different.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But I mean, we're just coming at it from completely different perspectives. So I got distracted because it went bloop and it opened up and I was like, I was reading that. But anyway, yeah, I've got a ton of stuff going on.
Yeah.
This is really a busy
summer.
It's going to be a busy year, I think. And I'm really excited about it. I'm excited for you. Because huge things are happening for you. And it's one of those things where it's like for a long time, going back to the hot tub analogy, you know, your hot tub's been bubbling for a long, long time.
Yeah.
But now it's really starting to get hot, you know?
Yeah.
And so now's the part where your muscles start to relax and you can really just kind of like enjoy the fact that you're in it.
Yeah.
You know, I was talking about a flaming rhinoceros,
mm-hmm.
which is my buddy Mike Ross calls people who are in Los Angeles for a very short time and feel entitled to success here, flaming rhinos. And the reason he calls them that is he said, you know, the way that I see it is we're all sitting in a Starbucks, you know, those of us that do the work, which is, you know, it's about the work. It's what we wake up and we do every morning.
Yeah.
This isn't, you know, like I don't go on a microphone at a cartoon session and blow my wad and try to make everybody happy. And this is my damn moment to shine. You people will listen and admire me. That's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
We're there to do a job. You know, like somebody asked Tom Kenny at Dragon Con a couple years ago. So like, what's your stick? When you go on the mic and you're working, like, what's your thing? And Tom's like, what do? They said. And he goes, my job. I do my job because
And that gets
a job
back to the rhino.
Going back. Yeah, thank you. But anyway, what happens with a flaming rhino is, like, the people that do the work, we're all kind of sitting in a Starbucks sort of typing on our computers. And every once in a while, through the door comes blowing this flaming rhinoceros. And it's like, I will be a star, and blows up against the wall and explodes, and we all look up and say, wow, yep, and go back down to our work.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like I see that happen a lot out here, and you can kind of smell a flaming rhino from a mile away.
Yeah,
you know, so
they come in, they
just
make a lot of noise,
totally.
Yeah,
you know, and the horn damage. But it was really interesting because, you know, we got contacted by this flaming rhino today, and I was just like, wow, that's a flaming rhino. And I showed it to Paul, and he goes, that is a flaming rhino.
Yeah.
And we were kind of, you know, like not chuckling and making fun of the person because who knows? They may have the drive that it takes to succeed and the wherewithal to really make it happen. But at the same time, it's kind of like, or you can really focus on the work and get off yourself.
Yeah.
You know, because that's when it gets good.
Mm-hmm.
It's when you're working for a greater good and you want really good work to happen. You know, and so the ego's not attached other than to make it as great as possible. You know, and going back to this PSA, the director and I are really, you know, being at polar opposites, this isn't personal. We have a job to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, so how can we best achieve this goal? And really tell this story, and it's a call to action, and make it matter to people on such a visceral level that, you know, they can't help but click to make a difference,
mm-hmm.
you know? So this is not a flaming rhinoceros project.
No.
And all of your projects, you've been doing the work for 30-some years now.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, people...
And doing it really, really well.
Some people ask me, you know, like, how many years?
I don't know. I said 30.
Did you say 36?
I said 30-some.
Oh, okay. 30. Yeah, it's about 30. People ask me, how can I get a job like yours? Or,
yeah.
Well, if you're a writer, you already have a job like mine.
You write?
Know? Yeah, you write. You sit down and you budget time, and it's a hard, hard job. I mean, the hard part isn't in the writing. I mean, once you're in the writing, it's like you're solving a puzzle. It's a puzzle that goes on forever, and it's actually a lot of fun. And you can really, and that's a chance to get in there and really do what you do. The hard part is focusing and centering yourself and allowing yourself time to do writing, to turn off all other distractions and just sit there and do the work. And once you start doing the work, you get into the rhythm. And if you can do that, then you are a writer. It doesn't matter if you've published or not. You are a writer, and then you will publish because you will be doing this for most of the day. It's like some people say, oh, I need to lose weight. You know, it's like, well, have you started doing exercise then? Then if you're not cutting down on your calories and doing exercise, then you are not losing weight. The good thing is once you start doing that, you can say, I'm losing weight, because the longer you sit there and consume calories, you're not losing weight as much as you want to. So you got to be even a little step. It gets easier and easier as it goes along.
And it just becomes what you're doing.
Right.
And then you become not a flaming rhino. You become one of those people at your laptop at Starbucks. Not mm-hmm. that's where all of Hollywood happens. I'm just using that as a, you know, as an example.
And people say to me, okay, well, what's an idea that's really going to sell to Hollywood? It's like, yeah, they'll buy anything. You know, like Ezra said, you know, oh, they're looking for old sitcom ideas. Yes and no. They're looking for anything that has some passion to it. I mean, if you want to get published, if you want to just write something and get it published, there are infinite ways of doing that.
Snow White and the Huntsman, I just heard that the first draft of that was written in the guy's college.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
Yeah.
I believe that. You know, we saw it and it was fine. You know, but going back to what you were saying is exactly what Bill Morrison said about his passion mm-hmm. and about his portfolio, which was draw what you love because it shines through.
Yeah.
And if you're good at the work, what you love is the best thing for you to be doing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Also, from what I hear from a lot of writers is the trouble is for upcoming writers is getting started and mm-hmm. just starting to write. They're mm-hmm. too afraid of like, I have this perfect story. I want it to be great.
Exactly.
Just write it and get it out. And then you can make changes later, do another draft or something else. You'll see what you have then.
And also I've heard from people say, well, I can't, you know, write because I've got extenuating circumstances. Like my parents don't want me to write.
Like I don't want to write.
Or I'm in a relationship with somebody who objects to what I do. Well, then you have to ask yourself, like, do you want to write more than anything else? Do you mm-hmm. want that self-expression? Do you want that to form that communication with people who are going to be moved by your work? Then you have to reevaluate what's going on in your life and what's barring you from doing that. If mm-hmm. it is something else or another situation, you may want to get out of it. Because what is important to you? Staying there or communicating? You're going to want to do that at some point. And that goes for any artist. You know, you're going to have to make a break from certain situations. And that's always tough.
Yeah.
But, you know, fortuna favis fortibus, you know, fortune favors the brave, and you got to conquer your fear and go out there. So
that's it.
Thus ends the sermon for
and also
today.
The podcast.
And the podcast.
Yeah, good.
You know, it's a good place to bring it all to an end. Except, did we ever hear what happened with Superica? Did we ever? Rashi never came back. Do you think he found Superica?
I don't know. Let me see if I can bring up that thing on my cell phone that lets me put sound through his little collar.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's good. You always have him. You always have a wire on him.
I have to. It keeps us out of the police station.
The FBI insisted.
Raking leaves, cutting grass, making money.
Oh man, I've been looking all over the neighborhood for you.
Uh-oh.
Come here, porcupine.
What do you want? I'm working.
Yeah, you're working and holding out on me. I know you got money. Come here.
Oh, well, you see, I don't keep the money on me. I store it in my leaf blower.
Yeah, well, you go get it before I start a hammering.
See, okay, I have it stashed right inside. Crime never pays, mi hermano.
You broke my window!
This has been another episode of Radio Rashi. If you've enjoyed this episode, let everyone know by leaving a review in the iTunes store. It's a great way to help others find us. You can also leave comments on RadioRashi.com, Facebook.com/RadioRashi, or follow us on Twitter @RadioRashi or @Paul_Dini to leave us questions. Thanks for listening, and tell your friends.